Hello and good morning. This is Liz Peterson. I'm Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM. You're listening to Raise the Vibe. Thank you so much for joining me today. In the studio, I have Aimee Cartier. Aimee is a psychic guide, intuition, and empath teacher who specializes in helping her clients and students align with their own highest good and discover their best steps in life. She is known for her clear and accurate insight and her compassionate and practical guidance. Her clients and students most often report feeling uplifted, empowered, or just better after a session. She is the author of the books Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life, and the ebook From Heartbreak to Wholeness, 12 Steps to Healing from a Breakup. Aimee, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Liz. Pleasure to be here.
It's so great to have you via phone today, you know, with everything that's still going on. And I think you're so relevant right now with your book, Asking Questions, because we find ourselves with all these questions about the pandemic, whether or not to wear a mask, racism, and everything in between. So thank you so much for joining me today and discussing this.
I am so excited to be here. I feel like it's relevant, so relevant now, because simply of that. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Our eyes have recently been open to the injustices and brutality that people of color have been experiencing in this country for centuries. And we're many, many, many of us right now are looking at a wound that has been festering and it deserves our attention and it needs healing. So I'm just seeing in my own work and in my life and the things that are happening that people are rife with questions right now. They're asking questions from like, what steps do I need to take to stay healthy, to how can I positively contribute to my community and those in need during this pandemic? How can I create financial stability for my family? What's the best way for me to help my kids learn or do their schoolwork at home without fighting?
Yeah.
How can I get the alone time I need to rejuvenate when I'm surrounded by my family night and day? Or what is the best way that I can contribute to this healing of this gigantic problem of racial disparity and inequity that we are really looking at right now? So I'm so excited to be here to talk about this because my work is all about getting answers and people are full of them right now. So it feels like a pleasure to be able to be here and speak to these subjects that everybody's having in their own ways, in their own homes, all over the world at this moment.
Yes, thank you. And very well said, by the way. I appreciate that. So let's get us started. You know, explain what you do and how do we break it down?
Okay, so what we're talking about today is everything from my book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. And it's really easy. I wrote this book because I wanted people to know that you don't need to be a professional psychic like I am to get the answers of the questions of your life, that anybody can do it at any time. And it's so easy. There's four super simple steps. I don't even feel like I invented it. I just feel like as a seer, it's something that comes naturally to me. And so I described it for other people to see, look, all you have to do is these four things and you'll be able to get whatever specific answers or whatever answers that you're looking for the very specifics of your life. So four steps. The first one, I'm thinking just to break it down into the steps so that people can have those with
them. Sure,
yeah. The first step is what I call align with the highest. So this is a step that involves, you don't want just any answer in your life. You want to know whatever the answer that is best for you is. We can all, you know, anybody, your neighbor, your mom, your friends, your kids, whoever in your life may have answers for you if you start asking questions about your life, but you don't want just any answer. You want to know the one that is absolutely the best and in your own highest interest going forward. So that's why this first step is so essential. I call it, again, align with the highest, but you do that by, I see one of two ways to do it. These are the ways that I do it. You either start the process by making an affirmation, something like, I only receive answers that are in my highest and best interest. Mm-hmm. So that you're really stating clearly, you know, to the universe, to the divine, to however it really feels for you. This is the one I'm looking for. This is the answer I'm looking for. Something that aligns with my highest good or the highest good of all. The second way you can do that is by who you are framing your question to. So one of the ways that I frequently do this is by, that I frequently align with the highest, is by putting my question to my own highest self. So I'm asking my own highest self, being clear, this is who I'm asking. Mm-hmm. Everybody has different ways of doing that. If you have a very specific relationship with however you relate to the divine, what you're doing is, what you're doing in who you ask, defining who you ask, is essentially aligning with the most benevolent source that you know, whether that is God or the universe or Great Spirit or however it is that you describe it, or your own highest self. The first step is really being clear about this is what you're looking for. You're not just looking for any answer. You're looking for the one that serves the highest and best interest.
Good advice.
Yeah, thank you.
Great.
It's essential. I do it for everything. I don't ever ask a question without making that clear. So that's the first step. Really simple. Either an affirmation or just being clear about who you're asking. The second step is ask the question. Again, really, really simple. But there are many puzzling things in the world, and unless you take the time to ask, you don't always find information about that. Like, for example, I always think of my brother and, like, his tinkering with cars years ago of, like, there's a lot of things that I don't know. I don't have any idea how a car engine works, and I actually don't really care to know personally, but I think about my brother years ago who wanted to know. So he was asking questions and getting information and modifying his diesel Mercedes and doing whatever he needed to know. But I use it as an example because, like, milling around and talking about something is, you know, whether it's like, you know, example I have given in the past is talking about your job and how you don't necessarily like your coworkers or something, but that's a little bit irrelevant at this moment in time for most people. But whatever it is that your question is, talking about it and kind of milling around and thinking about it or describing it to someone is a very different stance than framing what you are wondering about into a question form. Simply doing that sends like a beacon, I think of it like a spotlight to the universe that you're saying, answers needed here. I want information. I'm not just like, you know, speculating or complaining about this. I want to know right now. I am not only looking for the answer, but I am ready for the answer. So the step is to really frame what is puzzling you into a question. Ask the question. And I gave a bunch of examples at the beginning of when we were just talking about ones that people are kind of dealing with right now. You know, the one of them being like, how do I, as a white woman in this world, contribute to making more racial justice, for example? That was the question of mine, you know, like, so all these particular questions that people have right now, whether you're needing, I feel like I gave some example of that. So
yeah, and we're all asking these deep questions of ourselves right now. Is there a better way to ask? Is there an effective technique that you follow?
Yeah, thanks for saying that. There's no wrong or right way to ask, truly. Like, I find what I have discovered over the years of teaching this is that sometimes the difficulty for people is actually figuring out what they need to know. And it seems like it would be obvious, but it truly isn't for all of us. Like, most of the time we notice first the discomfort, something's not right, and we kind of get to that. But it feels a little bit tricky to get it to a question point. So I guess I would say first is there's no wrong or right answer question. The way that I, generally what I'm talking about here are in my book and getting to the bottom of these things are really the questions that you don't know the answers to. So for example, you know, if I'm asking myself something about, you know, if I'm asking myself something about racial inequities right now and how can I contribute, first of all, some things are coming to my mind, so I'm already getting answers about that. And then you kind of keep the way that I teach my students and delve into it myself is I keep asking myself questions until I don't know. Like maybe I'm like, oh, I researched this or researched that, but then I want to know, but like, what is the best way for me right at this moment to do that?
Okay.
So I start by asking my own self questions, and generally you start to figure it out. You're like, oh, okay, you've got some ideas, and then, but there comes to a point where you're not sure what to do to move forward,
mm-hmm.
And that's when what I call you have kind of the real, and I mean in quotations, the real question. And that means the question that for you feels relevant, it feels like it would enhance your life positively, answer something that you really need to know about. And maybe you're not sure. And you're certainly not sure about. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'd be doing it, right? You would know.
So you've gone through the self-inquiry process. So how do we narrow that down to ask the right question?
So again, it just comes down to like looking at your life and seeing what is the most pressing thing here at this moment. And the other thing I love about this process is it's timeless. I mean, I wrote this book a decade ago, and we all still have questions.
Yes.
Like questions still go on as long as you're alive.
Yeah, I think this will be relevant 100 years from now.
Totally. Like maybe the questions change, but you still have them. So I really just start by, in my book, I detail the questions that I start to ask myself, like, what do I want more than anything else right now, for example? What do I want to change in my life? What do I believe would make my life better? What do I want or need right now? And those are examples of once you kind of can start to answer those questions, you're like, I need more time for myself. I am surrounded by my family every moment. I need to find out a time. You know, I need to carve out space so that I can rejuvenate, for example. Then you start to ask yourself, well, how do I get that? Like, what is the best way for me to find time to replenish amidst a quarantine time or, you know, the things that we're experiencing? And then this is one of my recent ones, so I'm thinking of, then I'm getting up earlier and doing things where I'm actually making a point to have that time and space so that I can have that visioning and rejuvenation for myself in order to feel whole in a time where I need to be whole, especially.
Yeah, especially right now. Do different questions produce different results?
Yeah, they do, actually. Mm-hmm. I find it really satisfying. Like sometimes you just want to know the answer. Like, for example, I wanted to figure out like, whoa, how can I fit this in? You know, the example that I just gave, how mm-hmm. can I fit in time for my, like alone time for myself? And that was satisfying in itself because then I can put the answer. But sometimes you actually want the experience of something. So sometimes I modify my questions to, so that the answer in itself will be giving me the experience of the results. I'm trying to think of an example at this moment, but it's like the language that I use. Like I might say, what does it feel like to have seamless homeschooling in my house?
My gosh,
again,
right?
I'm just using examples of my, you know,
that's a great
my
one.
Life. So then I would start to, the answer itself will start to show me, one, I'll have the experience, and then it'll also start to show me, and then it can modify. And again, then you, after you have that answer, then you might ask yourself, like, now how do I create this more often? Or, you know, something like that. So sometimes you're looking for specific, like you're really just looking at the details of like, what do I do? You know, you're looking at to know the specifics about that particular question. And sometimes it's very satisfying to frame your questions into a way that will actually give you the experience so that you will feel and experience what you are looking for.
Cool. And it sounds like not only can we ask the big questions, but they're everyday questions as well.
Oh, totally. There is literally no, there's no hold bar. I mean, whatever you want. I do find that general questions for me, and I think that what I've seen in my students, they produce a little bit less satisfying experience because, for example, if you're like, what is my life purpose? That is a really amazing and good question. Mm-hmm. And in answer and response to that question, you are very likely to get insight, vision about it, things like that. And while that is all helpful and necessary for moving forward on it, sometimes narrowing it down to what are the next steps, a question like what are the next steps I need to take in order to fulfill my life purpose, actually gives you clarity and action that you can take rather than and helps you feel like you're actually moving forward on that particular path instead of just insight, for example.
I see. And then after we've asked the question, you have a chapter in your book about patience. So having the patience to wait and watch and look. So let's talk about that.
Yes. I call it secret ingredient. I have four secret ingredients, and patience is secret ingredient number one. And let me tell you, it's not one of my, you know, it's been a challenge for me my whole life. So I understand how difficult it is. I want to be clear about this. But the important thing is that to know about this process or perhaps any process is that there's no controlling the timing. There's absolutely no control. You will absolutely 100% get an answer, whether you believe me or not. The universe will respond to you. No belief is necessary. However, you cannot control when that happens. And so that's why I liken patience to a secret ingredient that just, it just helps you. It's like, I always think of the image of like sitting in a waiting room and you know your turn is coming. Like when I ask a question, I know for sure the answer is coming, and that is because my experience has shown me time and time again that it always does. But you're still in the waiting room, and sometimes that's uncomfortable, and you're like, but when is this money going to arrive? Or when is this information going to happen? Or this thing going to happen? All the questions that people generally are looking for in their life. So I always think of it like I'm sitting in a waiting room, you're sitting in a waiting room if you're asking questions, and patience is just like the lovely, I usually think of it as a woman, you know, just like motherly, lovely thing behind you, just next to you, just sitting there holding your hand, saying, you know, it's going to be fine, honey. The answer's going to come. Just making it sweet for you, because the truth is, though the answer is definitely going to come, there may be things that need to happen before, for example, if you're looking for a new job, the place that is your perfect new job, it needs to figure out that they need a person, it needs to meet with their departments, it needs to put an ad out. There's all kinds of things that need to happen in order for even your perfect new job to arrive, or for the answer for you to be directed to look there. If it doesn't look like they're hiring at this moment, then, you know, the universe is not going to respond by saying, look over there, you know, because if you look too soon, you're going to be discouraged and see that there's nothing. So again, there's a timing that none of us can control about it. And that is why patience is a very helpful friend to have with you.
Wow. And that's really looking at the big picture of life. And not just like, okay, I want it now. And, you know, it's, you know, looking at what things need to happen before this can fall into place. Wow, that is great.
Totally. And I kind of feel like that's not our business. Like, my mind would be blown if I was trying to track all of those details too. What I want is my answer. And when it doesn't come, when I don't see one, I know that it's not time yet. What I interpret when I get when I don't see an answer, when I haven't seen one yet, is no action is necessary. I need to sit here, and I can give you a good example of that. That would be helpful.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I'm thinking of a time many years ago when our babysitter for my daughter, who was really little at the time, she was two. She literally just disappeared, and it was in the winter. And it turned out she had to go take care of her grandmother, and something had happened. But I was left with, like, I needed somebody to watch my daughter for a couple hours every couple days. And I was asking and doing all those questions and doing all the due diligence. You know, asking a question doesn't mean you don't do anything. Then you still do the things you need to. Like you, in this case, I was telling everybody I knew, I was posting online, I was looking for something, and still the right person was not arising. There was no, the right connection wasn't happening. But I knew that I had asked that, I knew that I needed this, and I also knew that I had asked the question. So I was like, all right, well, apparently no action is needed for me at this moment because I have no information about what to do. I don't remember the timing at all, but one day I was sitting in my house and a friend stopped by. That was an era where people could come into your house and chat and have tea with you. And it was a girlfriend, and I just happened to tell her, oh, we're really looking. I hadn't told her about it, and I hadn't even thought of her. You know, I'm like, I need somebody to watch my daughter. She's like, oh, what do you need? She literally has stopped by my house and was like, I can do it. I can totally do it. She volunteered.
That's awesome.
For the job. All I did was, you know, I was standing in my house, you know, probably making snacks for my kids or whatever, you know, and she appeared with a volunteering of it. So, but I knew at the time, if I'm doing all this stuff and nothing is arising, then there's the right now what I need to do is hold the hand of my friend Patience and wait until the answer arrives. And it did, like right into my living room.
That's fantastic. Okay, how about receiving the answer? So that's a great segue into receiving the answers, how we receive them.
Perfect. Yes, because that is the third step, receiving answers. And I like to always say that it's not ask questions, receive answers. That's not the step. There are two different ones. So you're asking, and that's a step and a process into itself. And you can make it big or write post-it notes or, you know, remind yourself every time you have a conundrum, come back to the question in your mind. But it is a separate step from the third step, which is receiving answers. Mm. And a lovely and amazing thing about receiving answers is, one, like I already said, they will arise. They will arrive, absolutely, and you don't even have to believe me. You just have to live your life, and you will see time and time again, like I have, that they always arrive. But also, you don't have to do anything out of the ordinary. Your answers arrive in your life. They show up in whatever it is that you are already doing. They show up, you know, there's so many differences of right now how we live than we have been. But if you're at home, if wherever you are in your life, whatever it is that you are naturally doing at this moment, that is where the answers will show up to you. You don't have to go out of your way to find them or try to, you know, it's not an effort. It's a receiving this particular step. They show up in the ordinary, wherever you were in your life. So the way that I break it down are I see that answers arrive in three different ways. I have yet to see an exception to these particular ways. The first is obvious answers. So I remember once having a question and then I went to asking myself this question. I think it was about writing, something specifically writing. Then I went to the grocery store and literally the next thing that somebody said to me was in direct, while standing at the bulk aisle, was in direct answer to this question that I had about it. Another one, I remember years ago having a question of how can I manage my money better? I was looking at my bank account and just feeling like I was missing something and how I was interacting with it. And I went to the bank and the teller, not having any idea, knowing anything, she literally said to me, do you want some tips on how you can manage your money better?
Wow.
And there was a new online system that she wanted to tell me about. Okay, so those are the obvious ones. They use the exact language that you've just used. They express, it's so obvious.
Yeah, here
somebody
you go.
Hitting you in the head. Exactly. They tell you exactly what you just wondered about. So, and then the second way that I've seen they come is something that I call ways that have a signature of spirit. And this means that generally, when these answers arrive, what I notice about it is either you experience maybe a timelessness about the moment. Sometimes your senses are amplified, or maybe only one. Like, for example, sometimes when I describe this, it feels like the voice of God. Like, somebody will be saying something, da 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 da, and all of a sudden it'll be like, this is important, da 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 da. Like, something about what they just said, the particular words that came through were suddenly amplified or altered. In a way that shows me that, you know, spirit is trying to get a hold of me. They're wanting to give me some information that I need. So either your senses are amplified or one or particular, or the moment feels timeless and poignant in a way that other people may be having the same experience, but they're not having, it's not standing out to them in that way. For example, we might all be in the same experience, but it's really clear to us.
Almost like a dawning on you type of feeling?
Dawning on you, son?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it almost like a dawning on you? Like, oh, this is like relevant to what
I'm thinking?
Sometimes,
but to me it feels more like I remember one time walking out of a restaurant on the island, and I walked out in the street, and as I got to the street, I looked around and I noticed like time was altered. There's no other way. It felt timeless. Like, it's kind of like suddenly you're moving in slow motion.
Yeah.
Everything is really different. And as I looked down the street, I noticed that the exact same moment, the street was literally completely empty, except for one other person who had exited a restaurant across the street at the exact same moment as I did. When I saw that, I realized, well, spirit is trying to get my attention because my senses are amplified, first of all. And I noticed, who is that person? Like, what is going on here? And it turned out that that person ended up being really pivotal to me in the months ahead. I didn't even have a conversation with that person at that moment, but I recognized, I'm like, whoa, you know, spirit is trying to communicate with me. What is happening? So I looked around, only one other person on the whole entire street is this person. Then as the time unfolded, it became clear to me that that particular winter, this was a really pivotal person for me, and I really needed, you know, the connection was really wonderful and great. So it's more, to me, it feels more like that. Or I remember also sitting one time at a dinner full of friends, like a really long table, everybody's talking. And then it was sort of like all of a sudden everything got muted. Like, all the voices were still going on, but they were muted in my senses. And I remember looking up into the loft of these friends' house at that moment and seeing a very particular book on a shelf. So something like that, where that was happening. Sometimes there's another word for these. I've heard Michael Mead speak to it as, I think it's called a Cleodon or something. Maybe I'm not saying it right, but it's a moment amplified in your senses. And that's one of the ways that the universe, your highest self, your guide, that serve your highest good, will give you information. They will, you know, the moment feels modified so that you can receive that, you know, that you're receiving something important here.
Great. And does it show up in everyday things as well?
Oh, absolutely. It's like, I was just that night on the street, I was just like exiting the restaurant. Nothing was different about what I was doing. I was just being regular. It can also show up, like, they will sometimes use they, meaning, you know, the benevolent people, whoever you're addressing your question to. They will sometimes use inanimate objects to get your attention. And what I like, light flickering, for example, something like that. What I always like to make clear is that if you ever receive an answer by an inanimate object, it is always confirming whatever it is that you just thought or said. It's not, you know, your great spirit will not make you guess to see what's going on. It will confirm. One of my favorite examples of this was years ago. A friend was I was sitting with a friend in her business, and she was like, I feel like we need to close the business. And the lights went off completely and then came back on again.
Wow.
And so that's an example of an inanimate object being used to confirm. Like, Spirit was saying, yes, it is time. And we knew what Spirit had just said because of what she had just said. It wasn't a, like, what does that mean? It was like a confirmation of exactly, she had just said, I feel like it is time to close the business. The lights went off and on.
Wow.
Does that make
sense? Yeah, totally. And then how about other ways, like email or radio or anything like that?
Oh, my gosh. So many different ways. I mean, I had one client once that told me that she got all of her information in the mail.
That's great. On
the mail, on the envelope would be, like, these particular words that she needed to hear. Bumper stickers, songs on the radio. One of my common ones has been I will wake up with a song in my head, like one I haven't heard for I don't even know how long.
Oh, I love that
one. I'll be like, what is that song? And I'll listen to the words. I'm like, oh, ask about this, for example. So, like, there's no holds barred. I mean, Great Spirit, however you want to address this particular, the divine, this particular benevolent mystery is not inhibited in any way. Okay, Spirit is not limited in any way, so it can use anything in order to get your attention. Absolutely anything. So, hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, that's great.
And then one other thing I want to say about that is, all you need to know. Actually, what I'm going to skip that. What I want to say is the third way that answers come to you are the ones that you live your way into.
Oh, can you explain?
And this is why I always write down my questions and I put the date, and mostly just because I think it's interesting. I want to know, oh, I asked this question on this date, and then 2 days later, this happened. But the answers that you live your way into are sometimes you don't even notice. And the best, one of my favorite examples of this happened to a student of mine. Her question was, how can I really have an extraordinary garden this year? Something like that. Mm-hmm. Where she was really, what she realized was a priority for her in this moment in time was really getting back into gardening, but not just like any garden. She really wanted it to be like the best it could possibly be, but she couldn't see how that could possibly happen. Like in what was going, it was not the time of quarantine. So it was a different time where, she had no idea how that was even going to be possible with things that happened. What ended up happening was that over the next couple weeks, several of her commitments fell away on their own without her doing it all. People were like, oh, we don't need this anymore. Oh, we don't. And as a result, she was spending all of her time in the garden. It took, you know, our conversation, our talking about it for her to realize she had literally just lived her way into exactly what she was wanting. She was having this spectacular garden, and the answer came in a way that seemed indirect, so it didn't seem like it was actually a response to her question, but it was. The result was that she got exactly what she needed. All these other things fell away in order for her to be able to do that.
That's great.
Herself.
That's a great example, too. What if we don't believe the answer when we
Good
get
question.
It?
Good question. Oh, if you don't believe the answer?
Yeah.
So,
or we're in resistance.
Yeah, that happens. And so a couple different things. This is why I always start with align the highest. Every single time in all of my questioning, because I want to know, I don't want to have any doubts. I want to know for certain that this answer is the one that serves my highest and best interest. But it absolutely happens sometimes. Like the example I gave you about the friend with the business is a perfect example of this, because it was so clear. The universe was so clear to her in many ways that it was time to shut the business. But she just wasn't ready for the response. That happens to all of us at times. We're like, really? Is there another way? Or I have a different idea in mind. And if the answer is important, the universe will conspire over and over and over to make it happen until it will sometimes, if it is vital to you, it will force it into happening. Using the example that I was saying with this friend with the business, she did not listen. She didn't listen at that time. And what happened was over time, she ended up having to file bankruptcy and, she ended up having to close her business, but it ended up happening in a way that was a little more, definitely more traumatic for her than it might have been earlier. So I just, fear can arise. I mean, that's a real and true human emotion.
Yes.
And I definitely had answers where I'm like, oh my, really? Okay. All right. I'm going to do that. But and what I've noticed, and this is another secret ingredient in my book about fear or about transforming fear, but that fear generally, it allows you to understand that what you are about to do is something you have not ever done before.
Mm.
It is your body's alert system that tells you, entering new territory, stay awake, stay alert. Okay.
Yeah.
It does not mean that particular thing is scary. It means, while you are about to do something you have never done before. So it doesn't really, if you don't believe the answer or if you feel resistant to it, it will keep repeating if it's important for you. If it's vital for you, life will force you into it one way or the other. But I can say as somebody who's been doing this for, a long time, I don't know the number of years anymore, you can skip the painful parts by just doing it the first time. When you hear the answer,
yes,
if you do it, even though sometimes it's difficult, example I think about, and I think I have this in my book, is a house that I loved that I really didn't want to leave. I did everything I could. I was looking for roommates. I was every single thing that I could in order to not leave this house. But when the answer came, when I finally got clear, the answer is leave, and I need to leave now, I did it. And what happened was I ended up moving into a place, a yurt. I had no dreams of living in a yurt, just for the record. I had already lived in the Peace Corps and in huts. And I ended up moving into a situation that where I had hardly any rent. And doing that was what allowed me to write my book, this particular book, in the first place, because I had very little commitments. I didn't have to work that much, and so I was able to really devote time to this. Had I not listened to that answer to begin with, I still would have had to move out of that house.
Wow.
None of that would have changed, but it would have been much more painful, a lot more financially devastating for me. And the answer is, if you're aligning with the highest doing the first step, the answer is always leading you to the absolute best thing for you. And I mean, like, yummy best, not like broccoli is good for me, but I hate it best.
That's great. I love that. And I find that's true, too. If we go ahead and listen and have the courage to change, then we don't have to go to the other direction where if we sit it out, then it ends up happening to us. And it's usually not a comfortable experience, that's for sure.
No, it's not. The being forced into the direction is the least fun way to go, yeah. For sure.
So that's leading us to act. So let's get into, got our answers. Some we might not like, some we like. Let's talk about following through on those answers.
Perfect. Okay, so that is the last step, 4. Step 4 is act. And here's the thing. If you get the answer and you never do it, you don't get the goodness from it.
That's a good way of looking at it.
What was that?
That's a good way of looking at it.
Totally.
Like, I'm not going to get the yumminess if I don't do this.
Exactly. You won't. And the vital thing about this part is that nobody can make you do it. The universe can give you every answer. It can respond to you at every time, which it will. And you are the only person who can do the last step, which is act. You must do the thing that you the answer that you have heard of. And some, you know, we're using a lot of examples that require action, like moving out of that house, for example, or closing down the business, example. A lot of the questions aren't actually like that, but it might take courage at first to do the last step. There are some questions and answers that involve courage. And this is why you remember, even in the last step, you know what? I started with aligning with the highest, so I can trust this. Even if I'm experiencing fear to this happening, even if I wish there was a different way, I know that what I did at the very onset of this whole process was be clear that I am looking for the highest and the best outcome for myself, for the world. So ACT is kind of, you know, it seems like it's pretty self-explanatory. If you don't do the thing, then you don't get the goodness. If you have known for ages that you need to go to massage school and you never did it, then guess what? You don't ever get to, you're not getting the goodness and the fulfillment that would arise from you doing that. You're not making the connections that you would make there. You're not having the career that would be fulfilling to you. All the other things are not unfolding. And I'm not trying to scare people, but ACT is a vital thing. If you get the answer and you don't act on it, then you just simply don't get the goods. So you just remember that when I get answers where I'm like, oh, okay, all right, move out of the house, I just remember where I started. And experience shows you, after you do this enough, like, for example, when I got the move out of the house answer that time, I had been doing this for so long that I was like, oh, bummer. But I immediately took down my sign. Like, that day, I started looking for a new place to live. Because you do it enough and you realize that when I do the thing, when I do make the answer happen, when I act on it, I get so much goodness. And maybe I don't know exactly where that's leading me at this moment. Maybe I don't see it. Maybe I can't even. But I know by doing it so many times that it always happens, and it is always so good. So in order to get that great, yummy goodness, you have to actually do the thing. You have to act on whatever answer that you receive.
And this is way beyond yes and no answers.
Oh, this is way beyond.
Yeah, there's guidance, like action guidance through the answers.
Oh, totally. Like move out of the house, for example. Yeah. The way that one came was the song, there is a house in New Orleans they call the Rising Sun. It's been the ruin of many a poor girl. God, I know I'm one.
Wow.
That was the song that I woke up one day and it was on nonstop repeat. Like it wouldn't go away. I'd been doing all these things, try to make it work in the house. And as soon as I realized, oh, okay, like this is the way to ruin.
Yeah, what a great line.
Yeah, it's time for me to go.
That's hitting it home.
And, yeah, exactly. All right, that's clear. Thank you. Taking the roommate posters down.
Gosh. And circling back around to that fear piece, because I think there's a lot of fear caught up in action. So transforming that fear, like, what does it tell us? You know, how do we work with it?
Yeah, well, really good question. Well, there are so many ways. And I actually have that whole chapter on my blog, blog.amecartier.com. So if you want, there's like 8 or 9 detailed ways to work with fear in that. So if anybody's interested, look it up online. It's all there. But the important piece to remember is, like I said earlier, fear is just a warning system. It's just telling you this is new. You're going to do something you've never done before. And it's also not the language that your intuition speaks. I think this is really important to know in this day and age. Your intuition is your sense that is guiding you to the steps to your own flourishing, whatever that means for you and your life purpose and why you're here. It is a very detailed alert system or sense that you have that's guiding you to what you need to do. Like, I consider it your soul's compass. Your intuition does not ever use fear to get you messages.
Mm.
If it needs to tell you something that is vital for you in order to keep you out of danger, it will say something like, I think you should go that way. Not like, do not do that. Everything is going to be terrible. Nothing, all these bad things are going to happen to you. Or that kind of voice. If you're hearing that kind of fear alert system voice in your head, then you just know this is fear. This is, it's a, you cannot avoid it. You are a human being, and it's a natural part of being human. However, do not let it incapacitate you. Just understand this is what your brain does. It's giving you an alert. This is new. You don't know what's going to happen. It's mysterious and it's unknown. It's not going to talk to you in that the different, many different varieties of ways that fear speaks to us in order to direct you to the things that are best for you.
Oh, that's great. Let's get to your secret ingredient number 4, positive attitude. And how about some tips to get it?
Some tips for it?
Some tips to get it, to that positive attitude around asking and receiving these answers.
One of the things, I'm not sure if this is in my book, but to answer your question, one of the things that I do is I make a turnaround in my mind. Like when I recognize when I'm not having a positive attitude, that's just like real for all of us as well. So, we're none of us walking around like, this is great. Oh my gosh. I love the fact that I'm fighting with my kids over homeschool or whatever it is. I think for me, it's first identifying, it kind of comes back to what I was talking about before, about getting to the heart of what you want to know. Mm-hmm. It comes to identifying when I am having a crappy attitude or experience, and then finding a way to turn it around in my mind so that, I'm trying to think of a good example, but I kind of find an antidote in my life, in my mind. Like maybe I might look at the ways that this is amazing. That, I'm kind of picking on homeschooling right now just because I feel like so many of us have been experiencing that. But, the positive things that this is getting, I might just turn it into asking myself what I'm grateful about in this situation so that I can start to see the other side of it instead of whatever it is that's bothering me at this moment about it. Mm. That's one of the practical ways that I do that in my life. But it really comes down to understanding that, like, I really feel like a positive attitude is something that you cultivate and that you choose. And it doesn't mean, it's not like a Pollyanna or a naive place. It's choosing hopeful and positive thoughts and attitudes as a way to help yourself through whatever it is that's happening, but also as a way to keep the direction pointing in that way instead of being like, this is never going to work or whatever. Maybe it's true in the end that what you're doing, what is happening is not going to work. Perhaps that is true and that happens to each of us from time to time. However, having a crappy attitude and doing that along the way is making it worse. Having an open and positive attitude and hopeful and seeing the goodness that is evolving is, no matter what the outcome, it is making it better. Your experience, and I also believe it does modify the outcome, although certainly there are a lot of things out of our control.
True. Do you find that the more we act, the more we get answers?
Yeah, totally. But I also find that once you're kind of in this, once you understand that the universe is responding to you all the time, there comes this moment where you don't even have to ask a question. Like, I can think of many examples in my life where I got an answer before I even knew it was a question.
Yeah.
Because I am aware that the universe is speaking to me, that we're in dialogue with Great Spirit all the time, and that it wants me to have the answers that make my life the best, that help me do what I'm here to do. And so it's providing for me all the time.
Can you talk more about that? Because that's the magic I find in life. Like, that's the excitement I get out of life, is like these things popping into my life, where you're just walking along your day and all of a sudden there it is. And can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I love that part.
Like the synchronicities that happen?
Yes.
You mean?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it looks like I just said, of like, you're, you know, I really feel like each soul is here for a very specific reason. It's maybe not just one, it's a multitude, and maybe it evolves and changes as we grow older in our years as a human. But we are here for specific things and things that we want to do and learn. And it's this amazing magic and mysterious and sometimes, a lot of times, really fun and sometimes funny thing that happens when you are open and available and understanding that you are in dialogue with your soul, with the most benevolent sources that you know, and that your guides, the guides that serve your highest good, that there are all of these seen and unseen forces at work in order to help you do what it is you're here for, whether that's be a good friend or be a nurse or whatever, whatever it is you're here for. And it's just so spectacular and part of the magic of asking, of this process of getting, asking questions and getting answers, because the variety in which it comes is vast and sometimes super funny and fun, and the way that the magic happens to you. And if you're open to that, the fact that that's happening, it's so much easier for the universe to respond to you. You know, you think of it as like talking to a friend who's listening to the radio. Like, if they're not hearing your words, then your guide, your highest self can be giving you messages. But if you're tuned into 107 the Wolf, like my kids are all the time right now, then that's actually what's being heard. So if we can each just take a step back and or get some space and also some self-care in order to be able to have our nervous systems in a calm enough place to be able to hear the sometimes really soft, subtle voice of our intuition, or the ways that your guides are putting the right person in your path at the right time, or passing you the right headline or the most perfect book or whatever it is, then it just becomes like you understand that you are actually living in this totally magical dance that is you and your life, and you're a part of it.
Oh, yes. I have the biggest smile on my face right now because that's how I love to live my life. I remember a couple of years ago, I'm driving down the road to pick up my son from soccer practice, and my phone starts playing a song in my purse. And I didn't have a radio in my car at that time that would pick up Bluetooth. So it just like starts playing like, oh, that's interesting. So I pay attention to the song and I kind of like, I'm mulling it over. Huh, how does this relate? So I pick him up, you know, turn it off, pick him up. We head over to Zombies. It was Zombies at the time. And I'm sitting there with my son eating food and the same song comes on the radio. And this is a song from the 90s by Kenny Wayne Shepherd. So not something that would just pop up, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm listening now. Okay. You know, it's one of those no way moments. I love those.
Totally. And that is one of the ways the universe, like things that repeat in your life, that's a moment of being like, wait a minute, what is going on? What is going on here?
Right.
Somebody is trying to get through to me.
And let's talk about how this improves our life. Because you did discuss that in the book as well. And
yeah,
this totally can transform your life.
It really does. But I also feel like it's almost kind of hard to, the only way I can truly, like the broad way I can speak to it is in general terms, which always to me sound a little bit, they just sound like, oh, I've heard that before. Because I feel like the most impactful way that it changes your life is every day in the questions that you're asking and in the things that arise for you, particularly, like, for example, being able to write this book because I got the message that I needed to move out of this house so I wasn't paying so much rent, for example. That's like a huge and wonderful boon that happened to me and continues to be something that I, you know, continues to be powerful for me in my life. And it's specific to me. And that's the thing about intuition and following these things is that it is specific to you. No other person in that same situation might not get the same answer because they're not living your life. their answers might be different than yours. Their choices, the things that are right for them, might be completely different from yours. So, you know, I can speak to it in broad senses of just saying, like, it's the best, you guys. It will bring the best to you. But the very specific ways in which it does that are so unique to each person and so relevant. It's like your perfect favorite hot drink, not just like a perfect, you know, a hot drink or whatever. I use that analogy because I really like hot, creamy drinks, so I'm trying to make that message.
That's awesome. And for everybody out there who's stuck in negativity and doubt and uncertainty right now, because that's really, you know, upfront right now, how do we exercise this, you know, to get that power and freedom and choice?
Yeah, what a great question. Ask questions is a very obvious one. Do the steps that I just outlined. But I also feel like it's super important for each of us to understand right now that doubt, uncertainty, unknowing are a very specific stage that happens always. Like, we don't ever always, all of us, have clarity at each time. It's necessary to be, like, wondering sometimes and being like, what the heck is going on? And to be in a state of confusion. And generally, I have found that a lot of the times that state of confusion is, it's not necessary. I don't want to say necessary. It's not quite the right word, but like, it's almost inevitable, like before answers arrive. So I think there's a big importance in discussing and understanding that it is okay to be uncertain. It is okay to not know sometimes. And when you are in that space, I really believe the work is to do what you need to do in order to calm your body and your being, your nervous system, whatever you can, you know, whether you're taking hot baths or taking walks, if you can, getting into a place of calm and neutrality in order to, it's the most efficient way to help the answers arrive. But I really do feel like it's important for us to be talking about the fact that it's true and real that some moments are uncertain and unclear and really confusing. And that does not mean that answers are not forthcoming or that they're not arising or that change is not happening. What it means is that we are in this process, and sometimes it's the very end. Like, sometimes the muddle happens before the clouds disappear and the sun shines and you're like, oh my gosh, I got it.
Yeah,
but it's important to be able to be in those times as well, instead of trying to escape them, because it's faster to be in the unknown and allow that to be a thing and allow yourself to slow down in order to get for the answers to be revealed.
That's beautiful. And what's the one thing you'd like us to take away from today?
I would like you, each person, to take away the fact that they have the power. You have the power to do this, you guys. You don't need me. You don't need anybody but your own selves. You ask questions. You do this step, align with the highest, ask the question, receive the answer, act. It's absolutely within your capacity. Your intuition is going to speak to you in a way that you understand, in a way that is meaningful for you. You don't even need an interpreter. You just ask yourself, wow, what does that mean to me? And then you'll know. So that's my biggest take home, is I really want everybody to know that we're all a part of the solution, and that whatever is happening in your life right now, the specifics of the answers that you need, I do feel are contributing to the whole. And, you know, like, we impact in our lives, not by... I don't want to dilute it by saying that, but I just want my take home that I would love for each person listening to this is to know is that you have the power. You have the power to do this. You can download the beginning of my book for free on my website if you want, but I've also outlined it all in this. You can do it.
Awesome.
Whoever you are, you have the power.
That's great, Amy. Why don't you go ahead and share how people can get a hold of you?
Oh, yeah. So my website is my name, amycartier.com, but it's also spreadingblessings.com. Sometimes that's easier to spell than my name. So they will, both things will lead you to the same thing, spreadingblessings.com. And like I said, I have a lot of free downloads there, including the beginning part of my book. And I'd love to make an audio recording of my book and have it out for free. But, you know, I'm mostly momming at this moment in time. So I'm just saying that if there are any people that are motivated by that or have those the skills to do that, please feel free to reach out to me at spreadingblessings.com. And I'm Aimée Cartier is my handle, also on Instagram and Facebook and things. So I am there as well.
Awesome.
And all my details.
Perfect, Aimée. Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been a great conversation about how we can tap in, ask these questions, got big and small, to be able to create that flow in our lives and get our questions answered, especially right now. Thanks, Aimée.
Beautiful. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And thanks, everyone, for joining me today on Raise the Vibe. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. Have a great day, and remember to get out there and raise the vibe.